Zorn, 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 the greatest father in all the land. Zorn, 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 we sing the praises of Zorn.
Yes, we do.
Eric Zorn is here to have his praises sung.
I never get tired of that song. You think I would, but I don't.
It's because, you know how Bob Hope, if you'd show somewhere, thanks for the memories, that just became his theme?
It's my hail to the chief.
It's your hail to the chief. What shall we start with, Eric?
Well, I wanted to revisit something we talked about last week a little bit, and I think Jasmine has the tape, the recording queued up, about how frequently Lori Lightfoot, the mayoral candidate, uses the word frankly.
She has a little verbal tick where she throws in frankly.
These are two sound bites. We got it in there? I'm looking at her. Yes, she's nodding. From the debate Thursday night, which I then want to talk about. But can you play those first?
The challenge also is, frankly, we have far more cars on the street now than we did before. In some instances, I think 10,000 more a day. So we've got to actually do a much more effective job of thinking about, frankly, what's the right level of regulation for the rideshare community. But we also, frankly, have to put people back on the street who know how to manage traffic. Traversing the loop during rush hour, which frankly seems endless now, is virtually impossible. And frankly, I share that view. We've got to make sure that we, frankly, are looking to neighborhoods south of Roosevelt Road and west of Ashland in a way that we haven't, frankly, in the last 7 years.
All right. We get your point.
She
we don't have the other
a lot.
She says frankly a lot. Okay, we've made that point.
But Wendy believes this is an unfair criticism.
She thinks I'm being unfair and
frankly unfair.
Frankly unfair.
I think, yes, she uses it a lot. I probably have some problems, too, where I say, you know, or, or like, and then if you start picking apart what people say, it really, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't matter that much.
No, it doesn't. Well, this is interesting. I've gotten some response from this. A lot of people saying, like, aren't there bigger issues to worry about? And I say, of course, no.
There are. I'm not sure there are.
No, obviously there are. But my point is that when she has this disfluency, when she keeps dropping this word in, it becomes really distracting.
Mm-hmm.
And I did get some feedback on Facebook, like, I'm really sorry that you pointed this out, because now that's all I hear when she talks.
Yeah, so why'd you point it out?
Because it was...
It's really, your job to.
Well, it was like several people criticized me, saying that it was either sexist or racist of me to point
why?
To
no.
pick on the way an African-American woman
no.
is talking.
God.
But I have to say that I spent 4 years attacking Bruce Rauner for dropping his G's all the time. I had a thing called the folksy meter, which I would count all the words ending in ING in his speeches and count what percentage of them he dropped. We're going to do this.
Right.
If
you're going to have one, though, frankly, sounds like you've had some schooling.
You sound smarter.
It does.
I'm going to start adding it to my vernacular.
How about ostensibly?
Oh, that's even better. That's even better.
No, I kind of thought that maybe, because I tweaked her in print about this, that maybe some of her people would say, try to cut back on the franklies. But
do you think you could, like, if somebody came to you and said, we did a little market research and people are a little bit put off by the fact that you say frankly a lot, so let's hold back. I would almost think that would make her more self-conscious, and you might even hear it more often.
It'd be really difficult to change. I don't know. This is an interesting topic. But to get to the substance of the debate, I should say this, and this was Thursday night on NBC5, Carol Marine, the great Carol Marine, hosted this debate.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very dispiriting. Did either of you get a chance
to watch
it?
I saw bits and pieces of it, where they were really arguing with one another.
They were picking at each other, going after each other's past, and not really looking forward that much. They would ask Toni Preckwinkle a question and about what she wanted to do, and she would pivot really quickly to say, well, Lori Lightfoot is a corporate lawyer whose law firm defends big tobacco and big pharma and big payday law. I mean, it was one of those things where you think, like, well, no, we want to know that what you're going to do. And here, the way I look at this race is this. You have two candidates who I think are very accomplished and impressive people, both of them.
Without a doubt.
Both of them have resumes that have obviously little things that you might say, give me a little pause. But they are both really, really smart people.
Yeah.
They're both accomplished people. And from my point of view, as someone who leans liberal, they're progressive in nearly every area. I want to know, as a voter, what's the substantive difference between them? I don't want them to say, like, well, you backed Joe Barrios, and well, your law firm defended someone who was accused of racial discrimination. these kind of things really don't tell me a lot about what kind of mayor they're going to be and what their priorities are going to be and where they're going to make a difference. And this is I think you'll probably see sometimes with the small differences really get people. I mean, these candidates are like I say, they're both very accomplished people.
Sure.
And toward the end of the debate, Carol Marine said to them something like, well, you know, do you have the confidence that your opponent would be a good mayor if you you were to lose? And Toni Preckwinkle starts, and she just like starts going, well, you know, she's in the law firm, and I'm really uncomfortable about all that. And she, what her law firm, but you can't spend all this time being a corporate lawyer and still represent the people the way. And so I'm really uncomfortable with that. Then they ask Lightfoot, and to me, this was just a complete slow pitch on the center of the plate, because Preckwinkle had just proven herself to be really really small in that answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lightfoot had this opportunity to say something like, I respect Toni Preckwinkle a great deal. She has accomplished a great deal in her 30 years in service. I think she would be a good mayor or even a great mayor. I think I would be a better mayor, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, of course, all she did was she said, well, you took a donation from my law firm.
Mm-hmm.
and the audience kind of went,
oh, here we go.
And it's one of those things where I think, like, I would really like them to start talking about what they want to do with housing, what they want to do with education, what the differences are between them, because that is not clear to me. I cover this stuff. I read about it all the time.
And it's not clear to you.
I can't sit here right now and explain to you the point-by-point differences between them, because so much of this race has been about personality.
Sure.
It's been dragging things out, and politics is tough. It's for sure it's tough, and you have to define your opponent negatively. You have to get people a reason to vote for you and not the other candidate. I get that, but I also want more meat on the bones.
Yeah.
And there is going to be, the Tribune is hosting a debate tomorrow, and I think at 1 o'clock, after you guys are off the stream, all your listeners can go to the Tribune website or the Tribune Facebook page, mm-hmm, and watch that exchange. It should be pretty interesting. The editorial board will be there. I'll be there. Cass will be there.
Oh, excellent. Very good. All right. Hold that thought. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and Eric Zorn from the Tribune right here on WGN. Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder. Eric Zorn is our guest from the Chicago Tribune. Also, one of the Mincing Rascals, number 3, I believe, the Mincing Rascals.
I think of myself as the second.
The second Mincing Rascal.
Yeah.
All right, here's a question.
Steve Bertrand would fight me for it.
Oh, he'll fight for anything.
He fights with everyone.
He just likes to fight.
He's pugnacious.
Yes, he is. All right, what if there was an election? This is hypothetical. Maybe it's for mayor, maybe it's for governor, maybe it's for president. And one of the candidates said, I'm not going to say anything bad about my opponent. My opponent's done some good stuff in the past, would make a great mayor, would make a great governor, would make a great president. I like to think I'd be a better one, but I'm going to do this whole campaign without bad-mouthing him or her even once. How would that person do?
Well, it would depend on what his or her surrogates did behind the scenes. I mean, a candidate can stay above the fray,
yeah,
especially in a high-profile race, while the people underneath that candidate can be feeding negative information to the media and putting things out. I think it would be possible to have, especially in a race like the Chicago mayor's race right now, to only go positive and to try to, because I think it is important to talk about, you know, the past of these candidates.
Yeah, sure.
But I do think that it would be possible to go basically positive. The problem is that it becomes so irresistible to try to define your opponent. If you remember, the sort of classic example of this in Illinois was when, I think it was 2000, was it 6, when Rod Blagojevich ran against Judy Bart Topinka?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was the race. I think that was the year. And you remember Judy.
Sure.
Oh, totally.
Very well.
Was she treasurer, controller? I forget which office she held at the time. I think she was treasurer at the time. But Judy was a West Suburban, you know.
I saw her at a garage sale wanting to know how much the beaver coat was.
How much for that beaver?
I liked her a lot.
Oh, I did too. She had a huge, always carried a huge cup of coffee with her. And
super friendly.
Oh, absolutely friendly. And she was a very moderate Republican. Mm-hmm. And the kind of Republican, frankly, who does well in this state. I said, frankly, did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
She does well in this state, who is liberal in her social views, conservative in her economic views. She was teed up, I think, to do really well. And people really respected her.
Mm-hmm.
And Blagojevich came out of the gate and just hammered at her for having good relations with George Ryan. There was an image or a video of her doing the polka with George Ryan at some state fair or something like that. And the whole theme of Blagojevich's really early, really high dollar campaign was, what is she thinking? Remember that? Do you remember those ads? What is she thinking?
Yes.
Trying to define Judy as a hack and as someone who's unfit to be governor. And remember, this was, I mean, Blagojevich was a controversial figure even then. He hadn't been frog marched out of his house yet, mm-hmm. but he was still under, people knew he was under investigation. There's some hinky things about him. But that was an extremely successful negative campaign. He defined Judy and she never had a chance after that. Now, I think that she was in the mold of a Jim Edgar and of a Bruce Rauner, too, of these relatively mainstream Republicans who can under optimal circumstances get a lot of votes statewide in Illinois even now. And so you look at that, you say, well, what's the, you know, what is it possible to run just a positive campaign? Yeah, it's possible, but if the second your opponent goes negative on you,
you have to match it.
Respond. You say, "Well, okay," and it's this, you know, Joe Berrios connections, Joe Berrios and Ed Burke connections that Preckwinkle has, and so she fires back, "Well, look at what your law firm did." Mm-hmm. And before we went on there, you're saying it's like one of those kangaroo fights, you know?
Yeah, they're both moving their little hands at each other, fighting.
Their little hands, and it's really dispiriting as a voter. You want more substance.
Lori Lightfoot had to say that she doesn't want to apologize for being successful. There's something to that. Why should anyone apologize for being successful?
Well, I don't think it's not just that she's successful that Tony Preckwinkle is going after her. It's that her law firm is Mayor Brown. It's one of these big law firms. Yeah. They handle all kinds of clients. Yeah. And especially when you're looking at the range of clients that a large law firm
represents. Some are less savory than others.
Always. I mean, you don't go to a lawyer because you've been leading this pure and blameless life, generally. Right. I mean, you often have some problems that you're dealing with, and lawyers are bound by their oath to represent their clients zealously. Apparently, there was a case, I don't have all the details on this, but that Mayor Brown was defending a company that was accused of racial discrimination. And the plaintiff in the case, who was on the other side of Lori Lightfoot, has ended up endorsing her.
Oh.
Because he felt that she behaved honorably during the course of the case and during the negotiations. And so he ended up endorsing her. But I don't think that Preckwinkle is saying, well, you've made a lot of money, therefore you're not qualified. I think she's saying that the way you made your money with this big white shoe law firm is unsavory.
Right.
I don't think that is
It has nothing to do with anything.
Well, the truth is that Lori Lightfoot is, like I've said this before, she's a very accomplished, very intelligent person, and should be proud of her success, should be proud of what she's done, and also of her public service. She worked in the Daley and the Emanuel administrations, working in monitoring the police department in various capacities, and most people thought she behaved herself with integrity in those jobs.
Willie Wilson endorsed her, Lori Lightfoot. Is he, of the other mayoral candidates that did not make the top two, is he the most important piece?
I think so.
He is, right?
I think it's really important. I don't know the extent to, now, of course, Willie Wilson, he was the businessman entrepreneur, and he won 14 wards in the city. He won more wards than anybody else.
Yeah.
And he's very popular in the African American community. And you've had him on, or you've talked to him?
I have not. No.
He is a very engaging guy.
Yeah.
I don't think he belongs anywhere near the fifth floor of City Hall.
Yeah.
I don't think he's got the policy chops, and I don't like some of his other political views, but he's a very nice guy and a very generous man, too, and very successful. He won 14 wards in African-American wards. He has a lot of sway in that community. Now, the question is whether that translates to another candidate, whether he can push his support to another candidate. Dorothy Brown, if you remember, Dorothy Brown, who's the county clerk, she has a lovely daughter. She is also very popular. She's also very popular. And she tried to translate her support by endorsing Amar Enya after Brown got kicked off the ballot for signature problems. And that didn't really work. Amar Enya, I think, finished, fifth or sixth, seventh, maybe didn't. So I don't know that that's going to work. Willie Wilson is a fairly conservative guy. He said he voted for Trump.
Yeah.
He was all behind Bruce Rauner. So it's sort of an interesting signal that the most, and the young Republicans of Cook County endorsed Willie Wilson. It's an interesting signal that is being sent that maybe Lori Lightfoot is the more conservative
of the two
of the two candidates. And I think that's probably true in terms of policy. Mm-hmm. Toni Preckwinkle, she was a member of the original member of the Progressive Caucus in the city council. She voted against this parking meter deal. She was one of, I think, only five aldermen who voted against that parking meter deal that now everybody hates.
Yeah.
So she has some credentials to say that she is the more progressive of the candidates. The question becomes, is she going to be the most effective mayor? So,
what do you think is going to change, if anything, about the city of Chicago once one of these women become the new mayor over Rahm Emanuel?
Well, one thing I think could easily change is the way city council operates. That for years now, under Daley, under Emanuel, you've had a city council that defers a great deal to the mayor. That says, you know, who's going to be the chairman of the finance committee? The mayor will tell us and we will put that person in.
Yeah.
And so it's been such a top-down organization.
Yeah.
And it's something that I think really needs to change, because you do have this interesting city council. It's going to be more diverse and it's going to be more progressive than it has been.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to get up on its hind legs. And it's going to, I hope, is going to assert itself in some ways. And it's going to not just be a rubber stamp for the mayor, which is really what we've had. So the question is, how does that translate to, for instance, the school board?
Right.
Lori Lightfoot wants there to be a fully elected school board. I think this is right. And Toni Preckwinkle wants it to be a hybrid, partly appointed, partly elected. But that's going to change how the schools are run. Lori Lightfoot has said that she's going to put a whole lot of emphasis on crime. She thinks that's the number one issue in the city.
Yeah.
So I think you may see some more outreach, some more attention paid to the neighborhoods, which is going to be really important.
Great. So thank you for stopping by, Eric.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you in a week.
Frankly, I think you're good.
Frankly, this has been a pleasure.
Thanks, Eric. Read Eric Zorn in the Chicago Tribune. Coming up, the stories that matter with Don Kleppen from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN Radio.